audio bed is pretty fucking amazing, because that's a 5x6.
Mm-hmm.
Of which there's a 0.201% chance of rolling. So one out of every...
I gotta get used to the fucking numbers.
10,000 rolls. 10,000? I think.
Or a 3x10.
Yeah.
The thing is the numbers between 20 and 30 would be the range. There wouldn't, mm-hmm. It would be a fairly compressed range.
Yeah.
Of numbers.
That'll give something new for Jameis to, play math time with. Figure out what the compressed range of numbers, like 20 is on the low end of, a nice clay pot or whatever somebody makes, and 30 is on the upper end, and anything you get above 30 or below 20 is either really nice or really bad.
Well, basically it comes down to height for the most part. Like, because a very wide roll of a...
Ones doesn't fucking
matter. One, two, three, four, doesn't five do doesn't really do much.
Mm.
Once you get to like 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah.
You know.
So it does kind of give you some something for height there. But. What other rule challenges do we have?
I don't know. What's up on the boards?
Are
we combining persuasion and manipulation?
Oh, yeah. I really don't know what to do with that. I thought Sanskrit had an interesting point on there. But it's talking about intents and stuff like that, and I don't want to get into what somebody's intentions are with the rules. Right. But I'm thinking that persuade and stuff like that, I'm not even sure how much that's needed, so much as just a, fast talk or make your words sound better. Like if Richard says, I think this, this, and this, and I'm going to go ahead and use persuade and bring in the thing about his mom, because that's one of his triggers. That's a pretty good basis, but I mean, if Richard actually gave a nice award-winning argument, you know, that would be better than...
You would still require a role for that. Yeah. You have, when there have been excellent ideas like that, you have always asked for a role. Yes, it might be at a bonus. Back when we were doing it at HC, it would have been, yeah, sure, take plus 20 to your skill or whatever, mm-hmm. if you laid out a good argument. But yeah, you've always required a role. So... Mm-hmm. I can't see you suddenly changing that.
Yeah.
I can see you saying, oh, that lowers the target number, or have a bonus die, but you're still going to want a roll from someone. So eliminating or cutting that skill back down to nothing is going to be pointless, because you're just going to want to roll it and nobody's going to take it.
Well, I was going to say, should we combine persuade, fast talk, basically just one all-encompassing skill? Fast talk.
Yeah. I'm not certain about fast talk might be, or deception, I should say, that general skill might be good to have a see-through lies thing for there, because it takes a liar to catch a liar, as you see. So it might be that if you're trying to persuade somebody with complete bullshit that they have a gobble dice type skill.
Well, right now, that skill falls under notice, because it's empathy.
Ah, right, I had forgotten we had empathy, yes.
So, yeah, empathy would be the...
Logan has said he doesn't mind having multiple skills to do the same thing, so deception could just be an alternative way of having empathy.
Yeah.
Ah, well...
That's true.
Now, here's a question. If, let's say, Richard wishes to persuade Joe, the sky is green. Richard has a lot of dice and persuasion. Joe can see the sky. It's light blue at best. What kind of, I mean, it doesn't even have to be something that blatant. He's trying to convince him his mother's dead. His mother's not around. He has no way of contacting her, whatever.
Well, that's different, too. He can see the sky. I mean, if it's he can see the sky and I'm trying to tell him it's green, oh, you've taken a knock on the head and you can't see it properly anymore because your colours have been fucked up in your eyes, then that might be a high target number, I guess.
Right, but, well, no, what I'm wondering is, it could be a high target number, but if could there be any skill? I mean, what if you're not lying? Let's say you thought his mother was dead, and you're trying to convince him his mother's dead, but you need to convince him of it for some reason, but he does not wish to believe that. What does he use to resist your persuade, fast talk, BS, whatever? In other words, a different way
of putting it. Willpower? Resist torture? It's not exactly torture, but a resist skill of that. I am stubborn. Fuck off.
Yeah, I mean, to put it a different way, let's say somebody comes... Well, I know fast talk always fails on PCs, because I can't say, yes, he is the master bullshitter. Travis, you believe him.
No, but you have convinced us of certain things.
It's so not true, because Doyle fell for everything in the book.
Well, you were playing him like that, though, which was awesome, but... If pretty much I have to out and out lie to the PCs as often as possible to get them to believe a master bullshitter, and that's just one of the problems with GMing, because I can't have a cadre of actors and actresses come in, one actress sit in Travis's lap and go, look, you know, you get to fuck me if you go and do this, and he's not going to go, well.
Sounds like you need to hire his wife.
He'll ignore her and say, baby, we're gaming now. Go the fuck home and stay there until I get back. Put the beer in the fridge. I'll be back in 18 hours. You go wait. Don't drink my beer. I mean, that wouldn't work. I'd have better luck with a fucking prostitute. At least that may distract him. Like, who's this bitch in my lap and can we get back to gaming? I don't know. It might distract me. I might say everybody out for a little bit and then forget to cut off the mic, and that'd be one of my more unusual podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Now, so what you're saying is social skills should be resisted.
I'm wondering, I mean, on NPCs that are toss away, so to speak, like you attempt to persuade the Islanders, we're going out for a pizza. We'll be back with a pizza in the boat in 3 months, so go ahead and give us a bunch of supplies. I may just put that as a target number, but if you're trying to convince, like, a named NPC of something, and he's wily or something like that, do I just increase the target number? Do I say this guy's pretty much immune to any kind of bullshit? I'm giving it a target number of 6. I almost said 9, but I remembered what you said earlier. I'm trying. It's going to take some fucking work.
Well, you could say, what kind of willpower would this guy have?
And then use that as gobble dice?
Use that as a target number.
Yeah.
Well, then you're going to get 1 to 10 as my rank on stuff. Because
isn't that a target number? 1 to 10?
It is, but Travis is trying to convince me having target numbers above 6 is very fucking horrible. Horrifying, even.
It is.
Sad.
But most people don't have skills above 6.
Yeah.
Or you could have an opposed role.
Yeah,
and just pick who has the gobble dice.
Right. What the hell was it? That was something else with system.
We need to determine benchmarks for skill.
How do you mean?
Well, because I think Richard and I both agree that 7 dice is pretty masterful.
Oh, whereas I'm thinking 10 dice is masterful.
Right.
Yeah. Because I'm still looking at the 3, 6, 9 category, because if 7's masterful, why the fuck do you buy up to 10?
But 3, 6, 9 is a linear scale.
It breaks down with a bell curve.
Oh, no, I agree with that. But looking at the probabilities of pairing, then it would be either 4 or 5 dice. 5 dice for 60. 30 is 3 dice. If you got 3 dice...
Yeah, it would be 3, 5, 7.
Yeah. But that's why I like having, like, the arts and crafts thing, you know, where you're trying to be 30 or whatever.
But, well, the reason I'm saying we need to establish benchmarks mm-hmm. is because once we establish a benchmark of skill, mm-hmm. you can say, this NPC is, you know, expert at social stuff. So anything social, he gets this many dice.
Right.
As opposed to it being wildly varied because we haven't set up a benchmark system for you to use when GMing.
Right. But, see, that's the thing is if I just go with, it's pretty much doing it that way is just like as if we were saying you can't buy above 7 dice. Or the PCs will be the only ones with above 7 dice in combat skills. Whereas if I go with the 3-6-9, even though it's not linear or whatever, then you're going to fight the best masterful guy in a large area has 9 dice as opposed to 7 in sphere or whatever.
Right. Well, and that's easy enough to do if you just say, well, like we had in Heroic Cthulhu, we had 30, 60, 90, mm-hmm. 100 plus.
Yeah.
So if you go with a 30% chance being, I don't remember the terms we used.
Hobby, living,
master. Yeah. So 3 dice is hobby, 6 dice is living, or 5 dice is living, 7 dice is expert, and anything past 7 dice, you're a master of your field.
Because
that pushes it above the 90% range. Actually, pushes it into the high 90s.
98 is 8 dice.
Yeah.
And then you've just got 2 sets of 99, then 9 and 10.
But that way there's a little bit of differentiation.
Mm-hmm.
But it also, like I was saying, when we were talking about, you know, if we're going to do social skills as resisted for significant NPCs, that would give you kind of a benchmark for saying, this guy probably has 6 dice, or this guy probably has, mm-hmm. you know, however many to roll, and it would be consistent, at least
right.
in the game.
No, I've been looking at, like, for example, not to show you too much behind the scenes, but, like, the weird tusk guys. I figure in anything that has to do with their way of life, so to speak, I've just been putting them at 5 dice. That's what they do. You know, I figure if you wanted to get into, like, math or something like that, then they would get their 2D default and like it. But, you know, it's like going out hunting or proper ceremonies to the volcano or whatever, mm-hmm. 5 dice. That's just where I'm at on those guys.
Right.
If they were badass natives, I might give them 6 dice. You know, like their special guy or whatever. Or if they've got, like, the king fighting of all of the islands, 7, 8.
I figured that's probably, I mean, because you're not going to make a character sheet for each of them. Like, if a ninja came up, he would have ninja at 6 dice or whatever.
Yeah. It's like I use the cultural packages that we learned in Bert's game. You know, anything that's covered under, like, we had a knight, anything that I think is covered under knight stuff, like order squire to take care of horse. You know, not actually maybe taking care of
the horse. No, he doesn't need the individual horse, the individual skills. He's just got the general skill.
Right.
And it can't go above 4D. That makes a lot of sense. It's very quick and easy to create NPCs that way.
Yeah. Just for guys that, I mean, even guys I do care about, I'll give them, like, a specialty. The Doyle's nemesis, the fat guy in the office.
Yeah.
As arch nemesis.
Yes.
He never managed to kill one of the few.
I didn't not manage to kill him. I didn't.
Never managed to kill. Anyway, yes.
I don't even know if I learned his name.
No, but.
Yes.
Oh yeah, I did at one point, but I don't know if I wrote it down. I think Doyle forgot.
Yeah. But, you know, he had, I think like, 40 or 50, anything that was normal for him to do. Shoot Doyle in the ass, paperwork, whatever. Could have even been 40, not really sure. But, no, that's just how I do the NPCs. I just give them one skill thing, and then that's their thing.
If
you try to play checkers with them, then you'll probably have a much better chance. Unless you also don't know how to play checkers, in which case you both eat the pieces and like it.
Cunning.
Yes, yes. Everybody has 2D of cunning.
So. But yeah, no, I understand that. A lot of systems do that because it's just easy.
Yeah, yeah.
So what were you going, like, was that the statement, or were you making a point past that?
I have to go to the bathroom. Travis just looks at me like, really? I don't remember what the fuck I was going on. I might think about it in the bathroom.
All right. What else is on the front page?
I suck at art.
Yeah, I don't know if that's...
Is that something...
I don't think I can help him with that.
Break his hands. Yeah. And send him to the doctor. And he can do the joke of, oh, doctor, will I ever draw again?
I think everything else has pretty much been discussed satisfactorily.
Yeah, I can't see anything at the moment. I guess the one thing that I'm worried about with us exploring is the languages.
Yeah.
Because if you can only go up one dice per week... That's fine. That's going to take you 6 sessions to get to fluent. By which time, we might have moved on. And it's double the cost of everything else. Because you can't have in-focus languages. Just,
You can. I said anybody who buys language is one of their in-focus skills can have all languages as their in-focus skill.
Really?
I said that early on. That way, if you wanted to have one guy bite the bullet and say, I'm the translator, he just takes languages as one of his in-focus skills, and then he buys all languages in-focus.
That's interesting. Well, it's just that it says language. On this one, it would have to be a specific language. Signaling is a specific language. It doesn't say anywhere on the rules, in the rules for the game thread, that language is a general skill. Because as far as I know, it's not.
No, I'm not saying it's a general skill. I'm just saying that...
Yes, but nowhere does it say that you can buy language as an in-focus thing.
You want to add that in there and I'll go smoke. And then come back and talk. The first smoke. And then I'll come back and talk. How's that?
I still don't like... translators, the problems that we had in Travis's game. Not only with you, as I said, with me translating as well, I didn't like.
It's really fucking easy to be able to get across basic ideas and languages in this system, much more so than HC.
But it means that one player, the person who has the language, is the one who dominates it.
Right, but I'm saying, because it's so easy, after 3 sessions, everybody should get up to 3 dice.
If they don't want the language. I can see people not spending points on buying the language because we've got no idea how long we're going to be in this area for.
I language where I'm at. Because 3 dice doesn't cost much.
It's most
of 1 session. Yes, it does.
Most of 1 session. Takes 3 sessions to actually cash it in, but yeah. I'll be back. No, I'm not making everybody talk fucking English. Do I smoke? Thing there. Travis is getting to go to a pirate party.
Well, if it's still going at 11 when I get there. Because I'm not blowing off gaming.
Understood.
Party.
Are you still there, Richard?
Yeah, so I'm here. I'm just seething in jealousy about pirate parties.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Did you already correct the thing, or should I go ahead and correct it?
I added something.
Correct what then?
Just the in-focus language thing.
Yeah. I thought I'd said that a few times.
So did we decide to keep deception and combine manipulate and persuasion, or we didn't really make a decision on that.
No, I really don't care what people want to call it. I think they, as we said earlier, they're all kind of the, same, skills, but I guess you can call them different things. The only reason I'm hesitant to say, oh, let's get rid of this or whatever is, you know, the people who made the character sheets.
Yeah. Not a reason.
Yeah, that's...
Honestly, to delete one line where the word is manipulate or the word is persuasion, yeah, that's nothing.
I don't see where you put, wait a minute, let me look in their language. There he goes. Yep. Well done. Richard added language. This one about the specific language. You can take the skill in focus, so apply to all languages.
Oh, yeah.
Good deal.
But, yeah, I mean, I can definitely see lumping all the social skills together, but I also see a more of a delineation between deception and, like, manipulate persuasion. Like, those two are pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess it becomes a, do we just have a social skills?
Yeah.
Broad skill, or do we keep deception unbundled?
Yeah, well, is deception the only one? No, it's got act, disguise, fast talk in it. I'm good with that.
Mm. Yeah, there needs to be more in there to make it worthwhile as a in-focus general skill. With only three in there at the moment. That might just be that people can't think of anything.
Right, right. Well, that's the thing is that I am anticipating people say, hey, I want to buy whatever. Can I put that under deception? And if it makes sense, then, you know.
We could put empathy under there. Like you were saying.
Yeah.
Well, you know, also.
It can go also, as well as. Yeah.
But.
I have no problem with that. The ones after the general skills are just ideas. They're not. I'm not.
They're not the limit.
Right. I don't think that we're ever going to have a complete skill list, and do we really want that anyway? I mean, that's a lot of stuff that nobody will use. These are the ones that we could maybe see somebody using.
Except you didn't want to take hairstyling off.
It's important to look your best even when stranded.
But,
well, then that should be a general makeup skill rather than...
Beautician?
Actually, yeah, something along those lines.
I could totally see a beautician as a part of disguise. We're disguising you to look good today, as opposed to the way you normally look. So
which is bad.
A complete disguise, right?
I think a lot of the reason that like, a lot of the confusion, at least, as far as, like, what deception is and how is it different than manipulate and convincing people, or, you know, persuasion and convincing people and stuff, is that fast talk, the word fast talk means convince.
Right, right.
It doesn't mean lie.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm also wondering, kind of on a little tangent with that, if somebody wanted to use, like, fast talk, like, look, it's a flying polyp of death, or whatever, when in combat, is it possible to use that as gobble dice against somebody's attack by making them go, you know, or look, Superman, or whatever, assuming they knew who Superman was.
I mean, realistically, no. But if you want to incorporate social combat into physical combat, then yeah. I mean, Fate does it.
Yeah, I don't know. That's the problem is, like, when people go, no, stop fighting. In real life, it sometimes works because, you know, there's a lot of social barriers against beating somebody's ass that are up and possible jail time. But if those aren't around, I'm thinking the guy goes, no, stop fighting. He's just their victim.
Yeah.
You know? Or we're not here to fight, we're here to talk. By the time you've said all that, somebody's beating your ass.
Well, in real life, yes. the question becomes, do you want people to be able to talk others out of combat?
Meh.
In the game. Yeah. No, not meh. Yes or no. You have to make a decision whether you want people to be able to do that within your game or not.
Yeah,
you have to decide whether you want it to be cinematic or TV-like, or whether you want it to be more realistic.
I don't think it's one or the other if they can't do that, and then that means that it's not cinematic.
I think No, he's saying, for this decision, you need to decide if you want reality or cinema.
Ah.
Yes.
That makes sense. I don't know. I would be interested in getting feedback from everybody on that, because I personally would rather just have it realistic and then have cinema-like stuff come up where it comes up.
I mean, the...
I'm not certain what that means.
Yeah, I don't
In other words, if I want to have some guy who gets shot with a shotgun do a backflip through a window, which is clearly cinematic because in real life they just...
That's fine. That's description. That's everything else. That's nothing to do with talking somebody out of combat.
That's not cinematic mechanics.
Right. No, I'd rather have realistic mechanics, and then...
Then you don't have anything to do with social combat in physical combat.
Okay.
Because that's not realistic, as you've said. You don't think that somebody can talk somebody else out of getting their ass beaten.
Depending on the situation. I mean, obviously... If they're using the threat of violence instead of actual violence, then that is a social phenomenon, right. Such as "give me your money,"
right?
You know,
yeah,
is open to social manipulation.
But I
walk up and shoot him in the chest and take his wallet, not right. So much.
Well, that's the thing. There is intimidation, unless you're doing a social combat type thing, which I'm really not sure. Don Richard. He's in the quickie fit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're in the quickie fit. I'm thinking that if somebody wanted to try to intimidate somebody during combat, that would be a fail. That would also get rid of that stupid display kill thing and all that, because that's kind of social combat.
Well, you're not doing morale attacks. At least, not that I've heard. Yeah. So,
and that only applied to MOOCs, if I understand, and you're not using MOOCs either. True. Or you haven't, I should say.
No, I'm not really planning on using the MOOCs, except for swarm attacks. Mm-hmm. Like, if I have, like, the Butterflies of Death come after somebody, then I could use MOOC attacks for that.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be interesting.
So, yeah, I mean, intimidating in combat would be tricky.
In real life, I've never seen that, and I've seen a few fights and stuff. Usually the chest beating goes before. On. Right. However...
Or after.
Yeah, if you're standing on top of your crushed enemy.
Well, no, if he's got three bodyguards and you just drop them in, like...
Yeah, and then look at him and go, "I'm Doyle." And he goes, "Fuck, I didn't know, I'm sorry." So let's go to a social combat thing just to see if I've got it right. Let's say Doyle wanted to intimidate the innkeeper, but this innkeeper had already had so much shit happen to him. I said he has got 5 dice in resist torture, intimidation, will type stuff. Let's say Doyle rolls his, then he could use his as gobble dice if he gets anything that's high enough. Like, you rolled a 5 height 3 width, and he has a pair of 6s. Then he could gobble that and say, "I'm not afraid of you." And then you could choose to beat his ass into the ground to show him why he failed actually to make his roll, but that would just keep him from being scared.
Yeah? And it becomes a... Do you want the intimidator to have gobble dice, or the intimidated? If one-on-one, it makes sense for the intimidated to have Gobbledust because he's kind of defending himself from being socially dominated. However, if you're trying to intimidate a group...
Yeah, that's a good question. How would we do that?
Because you could use the sneaking rules.
Now, that makes sense there.
Yeah. If you're trying to do most, yes. If they look to their leaders, who are the people who happen to roll the highest, and they don't cut and run.
Yeah, I kind of like the thought of using sneak rules. That way, if Doyle pulled up on the island next to yours and said, "I'm the new chief," and then he had to gobble thee with the highest and the widest, and did, then now that would be another question. Let's say they decided, okay, we're all scared of him, but we're going to beat his ass anyway. Is there any kind of negative for that? In other words, I think that if somebody successfully intimidates somebody else, even if it's a PC, and like, because since we have nice stats and all that, I'm just assuming that, you know, the characters are normal-looking people, which is one of the benefits of no stats, Doyle. It's all you. You ruined it for everybody by being the Amazing Hulk and not even being great.
That's your fault for not applying the rules that you applied to the other guy who was the Amazing Hulk. He had trouble fitting into buildings. He had to contort down the hall. He smashed up things and couldn't use a car, but none of those rules applied to Doyle.
Oh, he went around in a Winnebago. He found a way around my car rule.
He couldn't use a car at all. He couldn't use anything. He was gorilla big. Doyle couldn't use a Winnebago like that. Winnebagos might be big, but they're still designed for normal humans.
True. All right, well, getting back off the Doyle thing for a second.
Should there be a penalty to somebody who has failed the intimidation?
Or well, not failed the intimidate. If I go up to the group,
failed to resist the intimidation.
I'm scary as fuck, you should all fear me and run. They go, no. Then I don't think they'd be a negative for beating my ass. But if I went up and successfully somehow intimidated them and they said, "We're going to beat his ass anyway," I think there should be some sort of negative, but what? You know, at least till it was obvious that they are beating my ass.
Make them do less damage. They're so scared that they can't quite get their blows in properly. Yes, from a game mechanic, they're just as accurate as they were before because they've still got the same number of dice. But they're not as damaging because they're shaking in their boots.
Yeah, being that you're normally only getting a pair anyway, I'm wondering if, let's say Doyle went up to the island of evil goblin guys and roared at them, and they said, "Well, we're going to have to kill him anyway because he has dared set foot on our island and all that." Mm-hmm. If Doyle rolled like a 3-wide intimidate or whatever, I'm wondering if during like at least the first round of combat, because after your bloodlust gets going, you know, and you start doing combat, then the intimidation I think will drop away. But
unless the first guy gets cut in half,
even then,
the guy after that gets cut in half.
Even then, I'm thinking that it's what the individuals are doing. But I'm just wondering if like for the first round of combat, it might be real easy to say, okay, well, it's three success match things, he can just use those as simple gobble dice on whatever incoming attacks this round. Because he successfully intimidated him. He won the social combat, but they still want to go at him. They still want to do it. In other words, that give you, just for at least that round, something to make having intimidated him worthwhile, as opposed to just walk up and start bashing skulls.
But it also makes that puts the power on the person who intimidated instead of putting the penalty on the person who's scared.
Well, no, it would put the penalty on the person who was scared because you could say, "I'm gobbling. I only got three successful attacks."
But then they don't attack that round. You've given the other guy a bonus.
Their first attack, whoever's, like whatever attacks Doyle wants, until somebody attacks, if if they don't attack, if nobody attacks on the first round, then Doyle just hold on to those three gobble dice until they fucking attack and then use
but them as he sees fit. If you are only getting the three gobble dice, mm-hmm. that means that if you intimidate a group.
Yes.
Like, you're so scary you just intimidated 100 people are completely scared shitless. Well, only three of them are going to be affected.
Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out an easy way to do it, because it doesn't make sense. Everybody taps and light or whatever, but they're attacking with fly swatters as opposed to spears.
Why not just give a die penalty to people who aren't considered intimidated until yeah. they're no longer intimidated?
But then the question becomes how much, because in the mythical 3x5 thing, I don't want to obviously give them a 3-die penalty for the whole combat.
Right.
Because, or, you know, whatever, because that's a huge shift.
Well, you could make it a 1-die penalty for the combat. You could make it 3 dice for the first round, 2 for the second, and then just flat out 1 until they don't feel scared anymore.
Yeah, I'm not saying that it's going to come around too often.
You could give them a 1-die penalty per the width, so that they get -1 die for 3 rounds in the 3x5, and then after that point, as you said, their bloodlust is up, and so they are no longer scared.
Mm. Yeah, those are all good possibilities. Found some double-decker buses in Richard's backyard.
What did you find, sorry?
Double-decker buses.
Yes, I thought you were saying something exotic and interesting.
Well, for us it is.
Yeah, no,
I know. It's a bus. There's a bus stop outside my house. I can open my front door and see a bus.
Yes, but it's not... We don't have two-story buses in Virginia.
I can't imagine the...
Maybe D.C. D.C. probably has them, but definitely not anywhere else in Virginia.
I can't imagine the kind of hell that would unleash in America having a two-story tall bus.
Be like roving snipers.
Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have anybody get onto the second floor because it has stairs and not an escalator or an elevator or whatever.
Stairs? What are these stairs?
Yeah, I'm sorry. That doesn't really fit in with our McDonald's thing.
Yes.
So, if that's the bus stop on that street, then yeah, I've discovered where Richard is, but I can't quite see into the window.
But, so, I mean... I don't think we're going to have a real strong system for social combat.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah, it's sounding like it'll be whatever the GM thinks at the time, you know, as far as dice.
Because honestly, for an intimidation roll, typically is pass-fail.
Well, if we're using the same as sneaking rules, then you're just trying to gobble the height.
For a group.
Biggest. Right. But past 5 guys, 10 guys, something like that, the size wouldn't matter unless GM said, well, because you're trying to intimidate an entire nation, I'm going to give you a difficulty of 9. It's never been done. I think it's a stupid idea. You're trying to intimidate Soviet Union as a whole. If you make it past, I'll roll 20 sets of, you know, 3 dice, so if you can gobble the highest and the widest, then I'll just put everybody at -1 dice against you from the Soviet Union until such time as they're convinced they can beat your ass, or when I think they're convinced they can beat your ass. Okay.
I mean, as far as intimidation to cow people, I tend to think that if you succeed, they aren't going to attack you until your back is turned.
Right.
Unless someone else with equal...
Incites them.
Yeah, incites them into doing. In which case, you're actually doing an opposed role with that guy.
Right, right. I think that in certain situations that they'll just attack anyway. Like, oh, look, he's desecrated our graveyard. Dug up everybody and is dancing around with him, and then he looks real scary at us. And our culture is totally into killing him now. Okay, yeah, you're at a penalty, but otherwise they'll just find somewhere else to go or be or hang out for a while and plot. Like, that's what I was doing with the one guy whose arm you broke really early on. He was pretty much just content to wait for a while, you know. I think he tried something once. That didn't work out too well. And so he just went back to waiting. If you'd gotten, like, really wounded or something, then it's ass-beating time. But you didn't.
No.
So, yeah, it's sounding like Travis is actually going to be able to hit part of his session, so I'm not going to, because I was thinking just leave him on the shore to hunt around, get more supplies ready, and then pick him up when you're ready to go or something.
Wait, you're going to be here for this Friday?
I'll have a better idea on Thursday, because I'm staying back in the drill center, so I'm actually staying in a hotel instead of going out into the field, which means that I might be getting out and back to the hotel at, five-ish. And if that's the case, we're staying at the Wingate, which last time had a pretty good internet connection. So I'll take my laptop and my headset, and I will try to catch, just be an hour late.
Yeah, make sure you got all the software you're going to need installed on your laptop.
It's not going to happen.
But like Skype?
No. I've got Skype.
Okay.
I've got the basic Vassal, I just don't have the module you're using.
Oh. That's easy. Yeah. Somebody can give that to you.
You can download it from...
It's Travis,
dude. The Heroic Cthulhu Vaults. Travis. Yes, if you look at the Heroic Cthulhu Vaults, you can download it.
It's Travis.
Yeah, so... I probably will do that if it seems like I'm going to be able to play.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool. I found Richard.
And,
you keep saying that.
Yeah. Also...
They're everywhere. So you got a lot of tattoos.
Also trying, like I was telling Logan, I'm trying to not have to go to a wedding.
That's brilliant. In order to game.
On the 29th.
That's what a real gamer's attitude is on these things.
It's a wedding. That we weren't invited to.
That's a real man's attitude on these things, actually, also. So.
That you weren't invited to.
No.
Now, I did want to go see Travis's wedding. I do admit that, but, he's one of my, only two people here I know, so.
And the best man.
The wedding was all of 10 minutes long, so.
That was the perfect wedding.
Yeah.
I was the best man just because there was nobody else.
He was the only male at the service, other than me.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and he couldn't be best man. He did try to be his own best man. I was like, fuck you, give me the ring. So, we solved that.
Good to know that you have some quality of being a best man anyway.
That's pretty
you're
much
male it. And there.
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
Yeah, it was definitely mostly just going out to eat afterwards. It was mostly
what I was there for that as well. These houses
no wonder Logan nice. Was there.
Yeah. I haven't found any slums yet.
Well, that was when he got all like hopped up on cheesy bread.
Fuck yeah. It was Travis's fault that the whole cheese and bread fiasco started, actually.
Cheddar Bay biscuits are delicious.
People in England must really like each other because they build their houses all right the fuck next to each other's.
Oh, yeah?
That or they're worried about getting pushed off the fucking island.
Or we're not quite so fat as Americans and don't need like a 10-foot gap to walk down between houses.
Oh, we like to have the 10-foot gap so we can bitch about mowing the lawn.
Mm-hmm. And also, we shoot at each other so often that we need a little space just to ensure inaccuracy so we don't get any lawsuits.
Yeah. Well, speaking of fat people, because they got the people in the Google Maps thing, I haven't come across any fat people yet. Everybody's skinny. So, if I go there, it may cause England to sink.
Mm.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'll tell them to lay out the inflatable island just in case.
Well, that's something else that I've discovered is, unlike the old days that I'm used to, still, there's no fucking visas required for any of the countries I'm going into. You need
a passport,
like,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
You need a visa to come into America, I believe.
Do you?
No, I think you just need a passport. That's what I thought.
No, I believe there was a recent thing where they started charging for... maybe it's not a visa.
You might need some sort of stamp or something, but I mean...
Yes.
But, yeah.
If you're just vacationing, I didn't think you needed anything other than a passport. If you're going to stay for any length of time, you need a reason.
Well, there's a lot of different countries that you need visas still.
Yeah.
But it's just none of the ones on my list.
That's cool.
Yeah. Because all that a visa is fuck you, give us more money. That's all it really is. Because they stamp your passport either way. They put stamps into it, and then they stamp it with the ink and all mm-hmm. that. But no, that's all visa is. Fuck you, give us more money. So I think they're planning on getting all they can out of me anyway.
Yep. I think I'm going to head out because it's almost 10:30.
It is.
And I have one tomorrow morning.
Oh, yeah. Good on you.
Yep.
All right. Richard, do you have anything else to say before I go and smoke with Travis as I see him off?
I'm certain we haven't answered any of the questions we started to ask.
Me too.
Very possible.
All right. I will catch you guys in a bit.
Yep. See you a bit later.
Thanks, Richard.
Baruch Cthulhu is a role-playing game based on a humorous mix of forensic investigation, urban horror, and more. All actual play sessions are recorded and published as a podcast. We have players from all over the world, but we're always looking for more. Listen to some episodes and visit our forums to find out how to get involved. www.baruchcthulhu.com HERROICCTHULHU.com
Generic Advertising presents generic radio ad for Core New Media. Begin music. Cue generic announcer.
Clever opening line to get your attention. Quality of product. In this case, the podcasts. Reveal client, Core New Media. Interest building by announcing wide variety of shows at client, like Core News and Core RPG. Bold statement.
Stop music.
Even bolder statement.
Continue music.
Call to action to get listeners to go to CoreNewMedia.com. Slogan, spoken slowly and with emphasis.
End radio commercial.